You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. Today we're looking ahead to the action on Tuesday the 19th of April. The flat season steps up a gear with the first day at the Craven meeting at Newmarket. There's also something for jumps fans with Exeter and Carlisle here in Britain and Fairy House across the Irish Sea as well. It's all shaping up to be a good Tuesday of racing and you can hear it live on Racing Radio from 1:40 in the afternoon. On the podcast, my name's John Gibby, joined by Gareth Topham. Hello Gareth, how are you?
Hello, yeah, good. Been a big weekend that, hasn't it?
So yes.
Back to, well I say slightly. Sort of back to normal this week, but it's a real high quality week of racing throughout the week as well, so it's good to see. We don't get many weeks Monday to Friday which are as high quality as this without them being a festival, and yeah, there's some great stuff to look forward to as the week goes on.
It's one of those something for everyone weeks really, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So we'll start off by taking a look at the Monday jury as usual on the Tuesday Racing Podcast. It's in the Racing Post and it's the big questions being asked by the trade paper concerning this week's racing, and so we start off with a nice broad question, Gareth. Did the Grand National pan out anything like you anticipated?
From a punting perspective, absolutely not. But other than that, it certainly didn't surprise me that Ireland won it. It certainly didn't surprise me that Gordon Elliott won it. And the way that the race panned out, I thought it was, again, a proper national. And I think Aintree have got an awful lot to be proud about.
Fantastic. I heard someone say the other day there was some stats, or it might not have been a stat, but amusing, about these soft, heavy ground nationals. Ireland always do better because typically the horses have been running on softer ground through Ireland throughout the winter. That might not necessarily be true this time because we've had a very wet winter here in Britain as well. But I think there could be something to that theory.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And it was interesting because it was the first time that the word heavy had appeared in the description for quite some time. But it didn't really strike me as a national which was, it was nowhere near a Red Marauder year.
Yeah.
It was nowhere near an Earth Summit sort of year for me when the going was really, really bottomless. I thought they'd get through it. And ultimately, very safe ground at Aintree. One thing Aintree can always provide is good safe ground because, of course, they only race, particularly on the Grand National course, what, five times a year? So
yeah.
It's, you know, it's really fresh ground. I was there on the Thursday. There was a beautiful covering of grass and obviously the modifications that they've made as well. It's just made for a safer race without, I think, taking away any of the spectacle of it. I thought Saturday's Grand National was just as good and eventful as many others that I've seen.
It feels like they found the good balance now, and that's backed up by the stats in terms of safety over the last few years.
Obviously, there's been no fatalities for quite a few years now, and as you say, they got pushed to make these modifications, and the modifications are evident. Walking around there the other day, I remember walking around Aintree around about 15 years ago, but now the changes are there for all to see. There's a rise on the approach to each fence to make it more inviting for a horse and jockey as they take off. Beecher's Brook is nowhere near as big as it used to be. Yeah, they've made the modifications, but they've obviously worked, and once again throughout the course of the week we saw the reward of that.
You mentioned Gordon Elliott, and the next question concerns him and Willie Mullins in Irish jumps racing. They have been dominant this season, as they have been for quite a few years now. What are your thoughts on that?
A little bit boring, but again, they have the firepower, don't they? I think this season in particular as well, because it's been such a wet winter, horses that are coming across from Ireland, they're perhaps a little better equipped to handle the underfoot conditions more so than the horses over here. I called over in Ireland on Boxing Day just gone, and the going there, I was surprised that it went ahead, but over in Ireland they do sort of go perhaps a little bit further, whereas over here you know, if there's a puddle somewhere, it's deemed as unraceable. So I think there's a little bit more leniency over in Ireland, and obviously they've come over with so much firepower, these two stables, this season. They've been winning most of the big races, and it certainly didn't surprise that we saw the Jigginstown colours successful throughout the course of last week as well at Aintree. I think it gets a little bit boring. I think ultimately it could be slightly to the detriment of jump racing if we have just a couple of stables which are winning everything and nobody else can get close, because obviously it takes the sort of, you know, the lure to sort of come forward and put money into the game with someone else completely at risk, because what's the point? So yeah, I'd like to think it certainly has changed. Jump racing over the last 20-25 years has certainly changed, and we do see now a string of maybe three or four top competitors, and the rest are certainly not at the top table, and they're playing second fiddle. But maybe it'll change again in the future, but at the moment it's quite one-sided. This season has been particularly one or two-sided, if you like.
Take a look now at some of the supporting races, if you can call them supporting races. Many of them Grade 1 contests from across the 3 days of the Aintree Grand National Festival. And we start off by taking a look at Identity Thief, who of course won the Staying Hurdle race. Is he now one of the big names within the Staying Hurdle division? One that's been a little bit of a star for the past 18 months, 2 years or so, Gareth?
Yeah, I don't think it's the strongest of divisions at the moment. He won well, didn't he? He really improved for the step up to a marathon trip. Again, he had conditions in his favour. I was at Newcastle on Saturday and I announced to the crowd that it was Identity Thief that had won. And of course, he'd won a fighting fifth hurdle at Newcastle a couple of seasons ago. So amazing, really, that this horse is equally as effective now over 3 miles as he once was at two. He's a very good horse in a division which I don't, as I say, think is all that strong at the moment. And I think as we progress into next season and the season after, we might just see a few more different names appearing.
Terry Thornton, We Have a Dream were both winners for the Maneer and Suede team, the two-tone green. They could be aimed at the Gold Cup and the Champion Hurdle next season. Would you give them much of a chance?
Yeah, possibly. I'm not even thinking about Cheltenham just yet for next year. Good. I'm not even thinking about Cheltenham for Wednesday and Thursday as yet, let alone for next March. We Have a Dream. He was very impressive, wasn't he? But he had an awful lot in favour on Thursday, I thought. I thought the track suited him really well, the way he races and the way the races panned out last week. His prominent style of running suited really well. A lot of his rivals had run and had had hard races at Cheltenham. Apple Shakira clearly isn't the filly or mare that everybody thought that she might well be. She's come up short twice now at this sort of level. He had an awful lot in favour. I think that missing Cheltenham was a big, big benefit to him. But no, he was very impressive, and he's likely to progress into a real top-class hurdler next season. But second season hurdlers do find it tough when they're dining at the top table, and history proves that. Whether he's up to it, we've got the likes of Boover Deer at the moment, haven't we, up at the top, and horses such as that. So he's probably got to improve quite a bit more, but you certainly wouldn't rule it out, and he's going to have an exciting five-year-old campaign, for all that it could be pretty tough for him. Terraford, I thought, actually improved for the step up in trip. It was amazing. I backed him at Cheltenham, really fancied him at Cheltenham, didn't have a bean on at Aintree, and he's gone and scooted clear, and I think that at the moment Mike Bite is a bit of a standout up at the top of that Staying Chase division. And for all that Terraford was impressive, and he's a young horse clearly going places again, he might just have to improve a little bit more.
You mentioned Mike Bite, the connections, talking about aiming him at the Triple Crown of chasing next season. What chance do you give him of potentially winning it?
I think if he gets past Haydock, he's got a great chance.
Yeah,
I think that Haydock would be the toughest assignment for him, because obviously it's right at the start of the season, so he's not necessarily going to have that match fitness. He'll be fit enough to do himself justice, but Haydock, Betfair Chase State, usually comes up pretty testing ground, which we've already seen. Yes, okay, the horse can handle, but there's certainly Native River. I don't know whether he'd go to Haydock, but there are other horses. It just brings him a little bit away from the superiority that he is on a faster surface, and I think he is the top chaser at the moment, despite the fact, of course, Native River beat him in the Gold Cup. And judging by what we saw at Aintree last week, I think if the ground had turned up a bit quicker at Cheltenham, we might have had a different result. I know that you're a big Mike Bite fan.
I think heartbreak at the Cheltenham.
Yeah, I think he's excellent. I think he's a real talent. I think if he gets past Haydock, I think the King George is his for the taking.
Yeah.
And I think he'd win next year's Gold Cup on faster ground against that similar sort of pool of horses, yeah. which at the moment there's nothing else, with the perhaps exception of Terraform, maybe one or two others, which will come out of the woodwork.
Percy, potentially.
Yeah, but I'd still rather have Might Bite. And all those little quirks that he sort of displayed back last season, I think they've completely been ironed out now. I'd have no fear of him now going to any big festival and worrying about what he might do at the end of the race.
Well, speaking of the big Spring Jumps festivals, the final question on this week's Monday Jury, Gareth, is which do you prefer and why?
I prefer Aintree. I prefer to go to Aintree because I think Aintree holds the crowds an awful lot better than Cheltenham does. And ultimately, you generally get better weather than at Cheltenham. It's generally quite a bit warmer. It's a lot closer to home than Cheltenham. And also, the racing's just as good. The prize money's yeah. just as good. And there's not as much tension going into Aintree. I find Cheltenham's fantastic. I love Cheltenham, don't get me wrong. But there's so much build-up to it, and there's so much pressure going into it. That week, I'm always, always so, so glad when it's over.
Yeah.
Whereas with Aintree, it could go on and on for me. It's the same quality of racing without the pressure, if you like, and we still get to see some brilliant performers and generally a real good atmosphere once again. And of course, at the end of the week, you have the world's greatest steeplechase. Yeah. So what's not to like? So yeah, Aintree for me.
Fantastic. Right, Gareth, time not really on our side, but we'll take a quick look at your two picks in racing from Tuesday. Where are we going for the first of your two selections?
I'm going to Carlisle for both of them, and you're going to have to wait to the end of the card for the last two.
Right.
We'll start with Deeker, who runs in the 5.05. It's a handicap chase, quite a valuable one as well. He's rated 1.24. It's a 0-1.35 contest, but the highest is rated 1.29. I just think at the age of 12, this horse is loving life at the moment. He's won plenty of races this season. He's already won five times. He's been kept on the go, but he's generally never out of the first two or three, this horse. I called him the other week at Catterick, where he bolted up in what looked perhaps slightly softer race than this, but in doing so, I think he's earned his place in this slightly more competitive lineup. He's just a horse clearly thriving at the moment. Paul Collins obviously handles him very, very well. And he's got Ross Chapman booked, and I think Ross Chapman is one of the best up-and-coming jockeys over jumps in the north. There are dangers. Pistol Park, who missed his engagement at Newcastle yesterday, I think that might have been down to the ground. Grey Gold, who's likely to set a good gallop to the race. Wolf Sword, who stays a little bit further than 2 miles. And Ulysse Devassi, who's quite consistent as well. But I just think Deeker, he's earned his place here, and the veteran might well be able to notch up another win.
Deeker, pick number one in the 5.05, and does he have a run in the bumper then?
Yeah, the other one's in the bumper. It's a horse I actually commentated on in a point-to-point the other week called Piece of the Action, who's trained by Chris Grant. Callum Bewley takes the ride. He got racing from a very long way from home at Overton against a horse which has actually since come out and has run creditably enough, I thought, at Sedgefield, a meeting I was calling back last week, a horse called Glittering Love. They were the main two in that race. They were split by a horse called Chance It On, which runs in Monday's Buccleuch Cup at Kelso. So if Chance It On runs particularly well at Kelso, I'd be even more interested in a Piece of the Action. As I say, they got racing a very long way from home at Overton. He ultimately got outstayed. I think a stiff 2 miles round here will be right up his street. He'd won 3 points prior to that. He copes in the ground. He's got a bit of ability, this horse. I think for Chris Grant and Callum Bewley, Piece of the Action can go very close.
Piece of the Action, the second selection for Gareth Tupham from Tuesday's Action. Then it's no pun intended. It's all live on Racing Radio. Newmarket, Exeter, Carlisle and Ferry House from 1:40. And there'll be another Daily Racing podcast tomorrow as well, of course. And Gareth, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.